Welcome to the Bridge Podcast, a digital worship service. We know that walking with the Lord isn't easy, and we hope this show is a way to come alongside you and offer a little extra weekly encouragement. Most of the content for the show was originally created for our BridgeBox subscription service. For more information, go to missionusa.com/BridgeBox.
Yeah. When you picture yourself, think of body, mind, and spirit. Three layers, all connected and influencing each other. You receive peace from God into your spirit. This gives you a psychological calm in your mind, and this leads to your muscles relaxing in your body. Likewise, we can do something wrong in our physical life, and this can certainly lead to psychological distress in our minds. And then, how does that affect me spiritually? I think this is one of those huge questions we need to understand in order to have a healthy walk. At some point in my past, I asked God to come in and take over my life and save me and forgive me of all of my sins. When that happened, something happened to my soul. Here's what the Bible says about that. Your life is now hidden with Christ in God. Colossians 3:3. Take time to let those words sink in. This is as deep and solid a connection as one could possibly imagine. Romans 8:38-39 says, I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So what does it mean when I sin with my body? Does this create spiritual distance in my relationship with God? These verses would suggest that the answer is no, and that this connection is still there. But here is where the true nature of the enemy's attack lies: to create a separation in our minds. Think about it. If the enemy can't separate us from God, then the only alternative is to convince us that God has already separated himself from us. If you commit a sexual sin with your body and then feel the emotion of shame in your mind, it will lead you to feel that God is rejecting you. If you steal something and feel the emotion of guilt, that guilt will keep you from going to God because you feel unworthy. You haven't really separated yourself spiritually from God. Indeed, from what the Bible says, you can't. But in your mind, you've created the illusion of separation. And that's exactly what the enemy was going for in the first place. 1 Corinthians 6:17 says, whoever is joined to the Lord becomes one spirit with him. What God joins together, nobody, not the enemy, and not even you, can separate. Nothing can damage our soul. As Jesus said about us, I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. John 10:28. We receive all kinds of spiritual temptations, to have all kinds of unhealthy thoughts. And those unhealthy thoughts may lead to unhealthy actions. But those actions lack the power to change God's mind. God isn't going anywhere. This grace will keep you on the right track long after everyone else has bought into the fear, shame, and guilt, riding that emotional roller coaster round and round, imagining a separation from God that ignores the sound of Jesus knocking at their door. Anonymous writes in and asks, how do we love if we've never felt loved? Some of us have been given up by parents as young children and passed to different family members. Some of us have been treated like trash and I have felt thrown away by the relationships that we thought were valuable. How do we learn to love and realize we are worthy of love? How do we forgive and eventually trust? Well, I'm very sorry, Anonymous. Someone needs to say it, so I'm saying it. I am so sorry this has happened to you. Loving people is kind of like being a mirror. We reflect the love and grace and wisdom that comes from God out to the people in our lives. If you don't have the intention of being that mirror or of polishing that mirror up a bit so that the reflection burns brighter, then no real love is going to come through your life. The hard lesson you've learned is that very few people are looking to be that reflection of love and grace. So you did what you needed to do in order to stay sane. You hardened your heart. You closed down the idea of forgiving and trusting and loving, even loving yourself. This is what you needed to do in order to survive what you went through, and it's important to understand that. But now you stand at a fork in the road. Down one fork in the road is the option to keep living your life with that hard heart. After all, it kept you protected this long. And down the other fork in the road is the option of allowing your heart to become tender again. That option will frankly hurt like hell as you start to feel some things for the first time. But the choice to stay hard-hearted will ruin every relationship you have. If I earn trust and you don't give it to me, but instead accuse me of acting shady, then you can forget about me sticking around. If you don't see why others love you because of an insecurity, you'll sabotage this relationship until you're treated the bad way you think you should be treated. The bad way you always have been treated. In the end, some people feel like they're defined by what they do. They do something right, they feel good about themselves. They do something wrong, they feel bad about themselves. Other people feel like they're defined by what is done to them. You treat them like trash, they think they are trash. But ultimately, both of these ways of defining yourself are wrong. You are who loves you. It's that simple. You were not loved by deeply dysfunctional people. Nobody is. Dysfunctional people can't express love in a healthy way to anyone. That's part of what makes them dysfunctional. You are loved by God. And you cannot know how much. Your tiny human brain cannot possibly take in how he feels towards you, or it would explode. The size of it, the force of it, is beyond your wildest imagination. As I speak these words, I can feel God putting a squeeze on my heart. He loves you so much, I can feel it from here. You are defined by the one who loves you. Your value and worth are measured by the boundless delight he takes in you. His desire for you can be measured in the blood of his son, which was shed for one simple purpose, to remove everything in between you and him, to unite you forever. You are deeply, sweetly, tenderly loved by God. You are his adopted child. You are the jewel in his crown. That's who you are. Eomira writes in and asks, "Hey Anka, I'm currently at a point in my life where I simply feel like I'm just floating, like I'm stuck and not really progressing in life. It feels like I'm waiting for something to happen, but it isn't coming or anywhere close on the horizon. I want to be someone special, to matter and make a difference, but I've always been in the shadows of someone else. Any encouragement? Well, bless your heart. Think about your life for a second. We take young people with all their passions and excitement and pimples and restlessness and hormones and desire to experience stuff for the first time, and then we tell them to spend as much of their lives as possible in a dull room with a boring book listening to a boring lecture, except for when I'm giving a college lecture, of course. Am I right, people? Hello? Hello? Well, anyway, it's different when you get to church, because there you sit in a room with a book and a lecture. Yeah, well, no wonder you feel the way that you do. And there's only one solution. You've got to start really living today. Now, I know what you're thinking. Awesome, I'm going to quit school, grow out my armpit hair, become a hippie, live off the land, wear sandals, reject society, grow my own salad ingredients, and buy a shirt made of hemp. But slow up, Buttercup. It's not what I had in mind. You said that you wanted your life to matter and that you want to make a difference. And if you really want to live life to the fullest, that's exactly what you should do. Trust me, in my past, I've tasted just about every kind of pleasure there is, both sinful ones and the not-so-sinful ones, and nothing beats the power, the rush, or the total thrill of knowing that you've reached down into a person's life and made a difference. So where do we start? Well, let me give you an image that will help us with that. If you've ever babysat a small child, you've heard something like this. Hey, look what I can do. Look, are you looking? Okay, keep looking. Then you're treated to what is, let's face it, a pretty lame half cartwheel. Then as you're winding up some fake enthusiasm, you hear, did you see? I did it. Did you see what I did? This is basically what the whole world is like. Look at my new product. Look at my music video. Look at my new church. Look at me. And it's not that any of that is bad. It's just that the world can be so busy trying to get attention, it can often fail to give it. That's where you come in. So many people are dying to simply have someone listen. If they had someone who would feel for their pains and celebrate their victories, their lives would be utterly transformed. You can do that right now. Search blog postings for keywords like loneliness or depression, and simply message people with a quick word of encouragement, something like, hang in there, I'm praying for you, and if you need to talk, message me back. In an hour on the internet, you could make more of an impact than most people make in a lifetime. But why stop there? There are disadvantaged kids in your community. There are kids that feel left out at school. People in the hospital that need a smile. Find the right fit for you and go for it. Do this now. Get in the mix. Yes, you'll be kind of lost and clueless at first, like when you start anything new. But you'll stick to the basics. Love, grace, good news, and forgiveness. Beyond that, if you get stuck, message me. I've got your back.